What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX. My next guest is Professor Gregory Forth. He's Professor Emeritus of Anthropology at the University of Alberta, earned his PhD from the University of Oxford in 1980, not too shabby, while doing field work on the remote Indonesian island of Flores. The locals were telling him about these people, these very small people, and then in 2003, discovered the skeletons of a small statured early human species, which had been nicknamed the Hobbit. The professor was with us a few months ago, but I was out sick or on vacation or something, which really bummed me out because, as you guys know, I'm super into this topic. And I read an article about this and I said, oh, we got to get this guy on. And Andrew said, no, we've had him on. He's great. We'll book him again. So, Professor, great to have you back. Very nice to meet you.
Nice to hear from you again.
So I'll be candid with you. I'm so into this topic that I'm also into Sasquatch. I know. We could do this for hours. But I had an encounter of my own in 2020, and I had been into it before. But I saw an over 7 foot tall, all black something acting very strange in the mountains in Colorado in Vail. And my buddy, who is an absolute non-believer skeptic, saw it as well. And so anything I can get on this, of course, you're the author of Between Ape and Human, an anthropologist on the trail of a hidden hominoid. So I could not be more interested in this. And I just ask you to start at the beginning and tell us your story.
Well, it's been 2.5 years since the book came out, and I've been working on a lot of other things in the meantime, and it's a bit difficult to refocus, but let me just get going. I began fieldwork on Flores in, 1984, so we're going back, 40 years now, and... soon after arriving there, I started hearing stories in one part of the island, which I followed up in another part of the island. In my original field site in the center of Flores, which is my main field site, I heard about small, physically primitive-looking hominoids, which local people said... were extinct. In fact, they reckoned that their ancestors had exterminated them in a rather nasty manner, hundreds of years ago. Anyway, after that, this was in, 2001, I began working in another area called Leo. That's more towards the eastern end of Flores. And there I began hearing stories about the same sorts of beings, which were said to be very rare, but at the same time, occasionally seen. And I followed this up and collected a number of stories. In fact, reports, in some cases, they were citing accounts, apparently quite serious ones. And one thing to say here is that I was hearing about these things in Leo, these things supposedly still around, before the discovery of the fossil hominin called Homo floresiensis. So it was really that, the fact that I got a foot in first, so to speak, that emboldened me to go ahead and research further and write up on this. The remarkable thing for me was that the description that local people were giving of the small man-like creatures they'd seen appeared to match very closely with what the paleontologists were reconstructing from the bones they'd unearthed also on Flores Island, although at the other end, the western end of Flores. So what I set out to do, I mean, my object as an anthropologist, especially a cultural anthropologist, was to try and determine what was the basis of these descriptions I was getting of the ape men, as I decided to call them, following local descriptions and the local language to some extent. So I in the book I consider various hypotheses, one being that these might be purely imaginary supernatural beings. I show in some detail, indeed, why, in the context of their culture and otherwise, that's not likely the case. Anyway, to make a long story short, I conclude that, the most straightforward explanation is that they are seeing something that corresponds closely to reconstructions of Homo floresiensis, which is, by the way, it's he referred to them as small people. Fair enough. There's a bit of a definitional problem, though. Most evidence suggests that both the ape men and Homo floresiensis are not very much like us at all. So people, human, the terms are up for grabs. So it was that correspondence that, as I said, led me to conclude, the best explanation for what people say about these ape men is that something that looks like them really, really exists.
Professor, let's do a little anthropology 101. In listening to my different podcasts on Sasquatch and such, and I'll hear hominid, hominoid.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know this could do a symposium, but could you kind of just, what is Homo? What is human? Were the Neanderthals human? Were the Cro-Magnons human? Where do we start?
Well, let's put human to one side for a moment. Homo, as you know, the name of as part of the name of a number of species, it includes us. It includes Neanderthals. It also includes the Homo floresiensis. Now, that's an issue I've kind of taken issue with, raised questions about, because, let's put it this way. I mean, one of the remarkable things about Homo floresiensis is that they're evidently very recent, just looking at the fossils, the remains that go back, they reckon now 50,000 years or so, these likely overlapped with humans in that region. At the same time, we don't, of course, know when they became extinct. I mean, all we know is dates that have been determined for just one find, actually, in one place. And, of course, it's quite unlikely, to say the least, that they only lived in one place. They were likely, inhabiting a large part of the island. But to get back to Homo, Floresiensis is included. I kind of question that. I think they might be something something more primitive. Anyway, now hominoid, which I use in my title, my subtitle, simply refers to a creature, a species that looks human-like, somewhat human-like. I guess you could even say that a chimpanzee is hominoid, but let's leave that one for the moment. There is an exact, more exact term, which is hominin, which is what Homo floresiensis is, and also what we are. There's yet another one, and this will be the last, and that is hominid. Now, hominid is a broader grouping which, besides Homo other species, would include the great apes, so chimpanzees and gorillas as well. So it's all about, or largely about, levels of scientific classification.
So, Professor, if tomorrow you get word that one of these beings have been captured by the indigenous people, what level of surprised or shocked would you be?
I don't know, because it hasn't happened yet. I think I'd have to be quite pleased, because of course I'd feel rather vindicated in coming to this this conclusion, which, as I said, I don't conclude, yes, indeed, they absolutely exist, no doubt about it, but I said that, their existence, or the existence of something like Homo floresiensis is the, or descendant of Homo floresiensis, is the best explanation for what my friends in the Leo region were telling me during several years of research.
So Flores seems like a really interesting place with a lot of diversity. I know Komodo dragons and other species we may not see in other places. How much of it's been explored? Is this a place where there might be other things that we haven't discovered yet? I know there have been great ape discoveries in the past 20, 30 years. There have been other species discovered. Is this a place that's kind of unrefined in that way, or unexplored in that way?
Well, yes and no. Let's just say that that it has a relatively large human population for its size, but a couple of million or so. But most people are living on or near the coast. The population of the western end is more dense than other parts of the island. Also, there are regions, high mountainous regions, that are uninhabited and which one can fairly say haven't been completely investigated. No, so there are. It's possible that that a small population of something, like the so-called ape men, remains, but they haven't been reported yet, or at least they haven't been reported, and this is an important distinction, I think, to Westerners or modern scientists, academic scientists, which of course nowadays includes people from all parts of the world. One thing I was keen to do in the book, and which I did, was to discuss some reasons why, even if somebody did find a dead one simply see one, that news of this wouldn't likely reach the ears of the scientific community.
It's fascinating, utterly fascinating. The book is Between Ape and Human, an Anthropologist on the Trail of a Hidden Hominoid. That's Professor Gregory Forth. Professor, thank you so much for being with us again. I couldn't be more interested, and we appreciate it.
Okay, well, you're very welcome.
Man, what a show. We wrote a check for $625,000, Operation Food Search. Rachel tied a cherry stem with her tongue.
Yep.
That was really impressive.
Thanks. Maria and I have skills. What can I say?
So had you played around with that, like when you were a kid or something?
No.
Just a natural.
Yep.
It's a gift. Be nice.
It's a gift.
Dave is so jealous.
We can't all be gifted.
I'm not jealous. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Like, that's... I've been working for years.
every night, Dave goes home and trains. And
Dave's got the Rocky montage in the background.
Can't make it happen.
It's like Frank Stallone.
Tongue exercises.
Frank Stallone is singing in the background.
You gotta want it, loser. You gotta want it.
You got Nick standing behind you, going, "You can't win."
Then Rach is like, "Hand me a cherry." Done. That's how you do that.
She's Roy Hobbs. She's the natural.
Yeah, she is the natural.
Yeah.